so the depending on the capacity situation within the practice, you do want to move those two options as close to where you are as possible.
So if it's Wednesday, you're going to offer Thursday and Friday.
Right.
And, Jay, it sounds like you'd better know what you've got before you even pick up the phone.
No question about it. You got to be in a state of readiness. Right?
It shouldn't
take me putting you on hold.
You guys have a rule. You'd never put a new patient on hold. Isn't that right?
That's what I try to teach people to do. I would rather, if you got a new patient on hold, I'd rather you finish the job and take the chance that other call you have, you know, it's your brother-in-law calling or it's somebody trying to sell you a fax service or whatever it may be. Finish the one you have, particularly if it falls in that category. Because to me, that new patient call is the most important call you're taking.
Right.
Because the existing patient, let's play out a scenario. Let's say that existing patient doesn't get through to you. Are the odds better they're going to call you back?
They're bad. Oh, the existing patient.
Yeah, but I mean the existing.
They're
going to
call you back. It's the new patient isn't going
right.
to 80% of the time.
Right. But I'd rather you finish with the new patient.
Okay.
And again, obviously, if you're running into those situations where that happens a lot, you're understaffed.
Right.
And so the payback on a staff person who is scheduling appointments obviously doesn't take a whole lot of time to justify their existence in the office. So greeting, name of the business, their name, that's very, very important. How may I help you? Listening, I teach people to do a little, what we call like a little finger, like your index finger.
Yes.
And I ask them, as soon as they figure out that it's a new patient, if you've got more than one person in your office, give somebody in the office that index finger, and that's the signal, I got a new patient on the phone. And that's the automatic response for the rest of the team to mobilize around you and handle whatever needs to be handled.
So that person can focus.
Exactly.
Because these things you're talking about, the greeting, questions, transition, close, data capture, this person's got to be thinking. They can't be doing two things at once.
Well, because you can't listen. You can't do something and listen.
Right, exactly.
At least listen effectively. Let's put it that way. You're there, but you can't. When you then make your next statement, there's a disconnect somewhere. So have that little signal. Now, I want to walk through the big items, okay? So if somebody listening to this tape wants to go, okay, they're going to go back and they're going to start trying to work with their staff on this. Number one, fix the greeting, okay? Number two, have them eliminate about 75% of what they say when they answer a question.
Didn't you say that you get about 4.5 minutes and the patient is ready to hang up, so you better get it all done in that time? I think that number surfaces.
But what should happen is, and what's really great, and one of the things that our clients will feed back to us, is they'll say they're literally amazed at how fast they can do a call.
Once they know where they're trying to drive.
Exactly. Because, see, here's the other visual everybody should have. People do not sit in their living room, pull up a phone book, respond to an ad, just for the heck of it, Greg. They're calling because they're ready to buy.
Right.
So the other issue that we have in all the umbrella over all this, Greg, is that your staff must know the difference between a buying signal and an objection. And when somebody calls you up and says, how much does it cost?
That's a buying signal.
It's a buying signal. You don't ask that question unless you're thinking about making that purchase.
Right.
And in reality, most offices treat it like an objection. It's like their least favorite question.
They start getting evasive.
Yeah.
Some have been taught never to talk price on the phone.
Because
it's so easy to get undercut by someone else that will just simply unethically lowball the price.
Yeah, and all of this, what we want to make sure the staff does is answer the question briefly and then without any hesitation or any pause, go to transition and then go to close. See, I've listened to thousands of these tapes. You will hear it. They'll answer the question and then they just sit there and they pause.
And wait for the patient to ask another unanswerable question.
Exactly.
They're begging for it.
Right.
Can you close too soon?
No, absolutely not.
So I call and I say, do you take my insurance? And you say, yes.
Transition.
How did you hear about us? Tuesday or Thursday?
Right.
Wednesday or Thursday? Or
you got it.
Early or late? And then you just finish it out.
And here's the other thing. I had a call a couple weeks ago, and the person said, before they had booked an appointment, what is your Social Security number and your date of birth? Now, I don't know about you, but the order of which we ask things in many of the calls I listen to is completely inverted. In other words, once I have committed to you, ask me whatever you want, within reason, right? Because I've said I'm coming. But before I said I'm coming, be careful about how intrusive your questions are.
I see.
Because you run the risk of turning me off relatively easily. Now, so we've gone through, again, reduce the questions, add in your two transitions, and then move to a close. You have to role play with your staff members the close, because I got news for you. It takes a little bit of time. I mean, if they'll focus on it intensely, they can get it. And let's go back over the close one more, because this is the magic part of this, one of them. And that is, again, giving them two options. So, and Greg, you'll notice when we do the close, we never say I or we, okay?
Okay.
Typically, when I hear closes, this is what they sound like. I have a 4 o'clock. Do you want it? We can see you at, see, it's about me. I literally had one client. They had 8 I's in their closing script.
Good.
So within the first, like, here's the first 3 minutes of our relationship, you talk about you 8 times. You know, that's not the way you want it to come across. So you want to switch all the I's and the we's to use. Would you prefer to come in on Thursday or Friday? They answer, then you say, and you're specific. Do not say this. Would you prefer to come in the morning or the afternoon? Because what is the real answer to that, Greg?
I don't know.
What morning or what afternoon,
oh,
right? I mean, it's not...
So
I
you start
that,
with the day.
Yeah, I mean, people... That's a lot of the clothes we hear a lot. Do you prefer to come in the morning or the afternoon? Well, you want to be specific, okay?
Yeah. So you start with the day.
Yeah.
And then you go to morning and afternoon.
Then you go to early or late.
Then early or late. So it's... And then you offer a time.
Because you're down to like a, you know, you're down to kind of like a 2-hour, an hour and a half block at that point. You with me?
Right.
I mean, you say early, you know, you say you want to come in early Friday morning. We open at 8 o'clock. I'm going to offer you the 8 o'clock time.
I see.
And the worst case thing is you might say, oh, you know what, I got to drop my kids at school. And you say, well, let me look at it. You know what, we could probably squeeze you in at 9.
The problem is, it sounds to me like, Jay, that if you offer the time too soon, and the patient can't do it, and you keep offering more times, it becomes clear you don't have any patients, and you look desperate.
It does. It's just, it's an ugly interaction.
I got it.
I mean, when you hear it on tape, it's just, it's not good. And you hear so many things. You know, I think a staff member, the reason I like that close is because it also, you shouldn't have to hear everything about their calendar. And I think every front desk person has had a person sit there and just start telling about everything they have to do. And, you know, because really that's, you don't need to hear all that.
Got it.
You just want to book a time. And so the decision-making process is easier. You're helping them make the decision, which ultimately helps them. And I think that's the one, when you go and you talk to your staff about this, I think it is really critical that we don't drive home, okay, we're going to teach you how to close, and you're going to be a closing machine, and we're going to turn you into a salesperson, you know?
Right.
We're borrowing some techniques from that. But look, in any practice, we all know you do not help people unless they make it in the door.
Right.
You know what? If it's taking them out of pain or giving them a better smile, whatever it is, you know, and so all this needs to be put in the context of, hey, we're in the helping business, and this is how we help people, you know?
We get them in the office, and then we help them, right.
And anything short of that is a complete and utter waste of their time and your time.
Jay, we always tell the staff at the front that it's your responsibility to get people in the door so the doctor has the privilege of offending them. Because he doesn't get that privilege, or she doesn't get that privilege if you turn them away. Now, what you've taught us here is really a way to reach a whole nother slice of the market pie that's out there, the slice we're not getting now.
Well,
and you're saying also that we're not born knowing these things, and You also said, if I'm not mistaken, a casual perusal isn't going to put it in your brain to where it's actually functioning.
You have to role play it with them. You have to go over it with them. You have to then, I mean, you know, when you train people, you know, I've always, it's one thing to share the information with them, right? And then it's that old question, why don't you, you know, repeat to me what I just said? And, you know, 90% of the time when they repeat it, it's wrong, right? I mean, I don't know about every time I've ever done it, we have to go over it at least three times. Let's try that one more time, what I read.
Right.
And so
I really think every person in the clinic needs these techniques because they're all going to pick up the phone someday.
Well, my suggestion is take your primaries, get to work on them right away, and then go to your secondaries from there. In other words, there's certainly you can prioritize your attention on this issue, but no question about it that anyone who touches the phone has got to be versed in this procedure. And test them, you know, with different questions and so on and so forth. I will tell you that no matter who the doctor is when they do that activity, there will be a surprise, Greg.
You mean when they do an audit call?
Yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of what the surprise is. You will learn something that is
of tremendous
value.
I was listening to your tapes where one of your audit calls, the person answering the phone said that other doctors treat you like a piece of meat. I remember that.
Right.
That one sticks in my mind. So, you know, it reminds me of the old Art Linkletter show, People Are Funny. If any of you watch TV 110 years ago, he would interview children, and the byline was children say the darndest things, and I think it's only beat by our staff at the front desk of what they're capable of saying sometimes.
Well, I think that's a great point. I'll tell you, and I listened to a bunch of calls today on a project I was working on, and one of the interesting things I noticed is that there was a lot of almost diagnosing going on over the telephone. People calling with questions, and then the staff actually sort of saying, here are the things, here's what we'll do with that, and actually not even allowing the doctor to make that decision.
Maybe their personal experience has been that they're better at it, Jay. You have to keep an open mind.
Right. Hey, you know, let's think about, because I think we still end up with people in a little bit of denial. So the one thing I want everyone thinking about is this, is let's talk about the one thing I do is always use a very conservative guesstimate.
Yes.
And so even if a person loses a patient a month, what is the economic benefit? You know, what is the economic opportunity cost of that?
$1,200 to $1,500 plus the referrals that would have come along with it.
Right. So if we take that $1,500 and we multiply it times 12, we're at
$18,000.
Right, plus
exactly.
Referrals, so we could be looking at 40,000 even at that level.
No argument.
Let's talk about what you do when you go to try to approach your staff. And the first one is it's not about making people wrong, okay? It's
right.
About bringing them new skills, new talents, new techniques. You have got to, it is my recommendation, let's put it this way, that you must attach some financial incentive to this
right.
problem. Because if you don't, what you're going to find is why have an uphill battle, you know?
Right. The telephone really just becomes more work.
Yeah.
Instead of more opportunity.
I mean, why make it more difficult than it has to be? So by what I have found, and I have tested this, I have done it without the incentive in place, because I have a doctor
right.
who will say, I'm not doing the incentive, and I say, fine, I've watched it with and I've watched it without, and I will tell you, hands down, the with wins.
Got it.
Because what you're really trying to do here is you're trying to take and get the, you know, what I talk about is raising the new patient consciousness of the staff members. So we're shifting some of that burden of responsibility over to them. We're rewarding them when they perform. We're giving them a clear vision of it. And then we're coming in with these techniques, and we're just saying, hey, guys, think about it. If you change your strategies, if you change what you say on the telephone, does it make sense that you could produce this result? And if they say, yep, I got it, we can go, this makes sense, it's going to happen.
Good.
All right, so what have we not talked about?
We did the greeting, question, transition, close, data capture. We talked about what it costs somebody not to do this properly. We talked about staff not being made to feel wrong, not knowing these things since nobody knows it. We talked about the fact that it has to be drilled into people, not casually discussed. Role-playing, you said.
I think we need to talk about the, I don't know what the scientific term for this is, Greg, but the, I think we need to address the different personalities that people potentially could be running up against.
Okay. You mean with patients, you mean?
Staff.
Staff, okay.
Because I see a number of different things happen. And it's very interesting. I people kind of fall in different categories, and I think what I want everyone to listen to the tape is when you think real hard about that person that answers the phone. And what I find is the doctors are falling in a couple categories. Number one is they're very happy with the person, right?
Right.
And the person is makes their life easy, so they don't push the person a whole lot, right?
Right.
Well, and the other one is they're thinking about firing them. I mean, they got that on their mind, right?
Yes.
They're not happy. And so when you begin to implement accountability for anyone at that front desk when it comes to this phone thing, right, I will forewarn you that the presentation of how you do that is critical and that you must anticipate what their potential response will be. And I have found the response to be revealing. So in other words, if you've got a staff person who becomes immediately defensive, does not want that accountability, it's an alarm to you that you must do this. You must take action and do something quick.
Okay.
I mean, it's like, ding, 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 I got, you know, if they say, oh, I have that figured out, I'd close on everybody, I've got to close, I do it.
Jay, I'd go a step farther. I've talked to people about participating in your program, and I've actually had staff rally around each other, rally around the front desk. No, she's doing it right. In other words, they'll all gang up. So that's even a response you haven't brought up yet.
Yeah, but
even though they're as clueless, you know, as they can be, it's just a natural response to defend one of their own. It's like policemen, officer down, you know, and 20 police cars come screeching up to protect her.
Well, and as you know, I have many clients who they don't want, it's like they feel like sometimes they're sticking a stick in the hornet's nest.
Right.
And so they just don't want to bother. But this is an issue that you got to stick the stick in there.
Hey, it's not just that, Jay. Some of these staff are on our bonus, and unless they get this fixed, there's never going to be any more bonus. There's no raises because they're on the bonus. So they have to do this.
So just, but you know, my caution is, Greg, that the doctors all listen to this tape. Be prepared for that response.
Got it. Okay.
You know, they know, because look, no one's going to say, oh, yeah, you know, you should figure out a way to mystery shop me. That would be great.
Yeah,
I would love
besides,
to
I'm
hear
clueless,
that.
And I always have been, so bring it on. We don't hear that very often.
Right. But I will tell you, the funnest is when you get a new staff member who doesn't know anything, and they turn into master closers in short order.
Because they don't have to unlearn anything.
Yeah.
Or defend anything they've been doing in the past.
Yeah. She said, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll, you know, they can figure that out. So,
Jay, we're running out of time here. Anything else that you feel like you might have left out that will help them get these people across the front door?
Well, again, I think the biggest issue is that they've got to figure out what their current, what is being said. And so,
in other words, make it real, like the way you did to those 110 doctors at the marketing seminar. It's got to become real to you.
Yeah. I mean, some people are actually going to, like, unplug this tape, Greg, and they're going to, oh, okay, that sounds good. I think I got that figured out. And they're not going to do the discovery. And this is easy money.
Exactly. It's already there.
Exactly. It's already been paid for. You know, I like thinking about it as being, you know, as many times as these staffs are, and remember, nice, bubbly, joyful, none of that means they can close.
Right.
It means they're nice. We frequently hear and see that.
So, Jay, have we covered it?
I think a lot of it.
Jay, tell us about your training program, because if I'm not mistaken, I think all 110 doctors at our marketing seminar signed up for your training program. What's involved in that?
Well, what we do is, first of all, you become a member into the Scheduling Institute. And I have put together a box of materials, which includes manuals for the doctors, manual for the staff, DVDs, CDs, all of my training, my best training materials that we've compiled over the last 15 years relative to this particular subject. And they get that. And for 6 months, we work on training on the basics. And so what that means is, at the end of that 6 months, your staff member will get certified through the Scheduling Institute in scheduling procedures with a primary focus on new patients, Greg. And so they've got a, well, I've designed this to take about an hour's worth of time from the doctor to get it set up, make a few decisions, and then delegate it over to the staff, and then the doctor simply monitors progress. And now, we do a lot of the heavy lifting.
You do audit calls on them also?
Yes. There will be 3 audit calls in that initial 6 month period of time.
Okay, there's also teleconferences where staff are continually trained, is that correct?
Yeah, we have 6 primary teleseminars that the staff must attend to teach, which essentially we teach what I would kind of call our core curriculum, okay? And we break this thing apart.
How do you make them drill, Jay? I mean, because if they don't drill, it's not going to actually happen.
Well, and a couple of things happen. Remember, these audit tapes, I mean, there's a little bit of a process that must go on. I mean, as far as my, let's put it this way, the doctors that do the best do this. They at least create an opportunity, if it's in a staff meeting, if it's sometime, that they work a little bit with the staff on that. Because you're going to get the tape.
Oh, so you actually send the audit call out to the practice.
Exactly. So when that tape comes in, what's helpful is the doctor rallies the troops around, plays that tape, and then makes adjustments.
So the idea is every tape gets better.
Well, I mean, it's like I had some people on the call today, and she said, you know, we've had 2 tapes so far. And I said, well, what did you think? And we're teaching them how to do their self-critiques. And she said, I'll tell you what. We were impressed with the difference between our first tape and our second tape. And that's what's important. It's just progression. You know, no, it's not going to be perfect.
Like you said, Jay, Mike Abernathy, it's too bad you couldn't have charged him what that was worth to him, 150 additional new patients a month. How much is your program?
We would probably be glad to honor what we did at your event, which would be, I think, $1,699
for 6 months of training.
Correct.
The audit calls and everything.
And you get the, and then basically what happens is we also send those, Greg, on tape so that you've got a full self-study course, so that at any given point in time, then if you have staff turnover, we'll plug it in. And we'll also go ahead and make some, I've got a couple of really neat bonuses that people would appreciate, which we'll be glad if there any of your members or clients call, we'll be glad to include with that as well.
Okay. Jay, how can people reach you?
I'll give you a couple. Phone number is 770-518-7575. That's 770-518-7575. Or, you know, if you want to just drop us a fax, that's 770-518-7577.
How do they get started with the program? They send you a check, or do they call you? What do they do?
If you simply just want to call, give us a credit card, you know, we can make payments available if you need that or whatever it may be. But what we then do is immediately the following day ship out materials, and we are bringing new clients into the fold, Greg, every month. So then we get them a training schedule, and it's, you know, the ramp up is pretty quick. Typically within the first 15 to 20 days, you're on an orientation call, and you're moving ahead.
Great. Jay, you came to me very highly recommended, and I want to pass you on to my clientele exactly the same way. You know, with the seminar that you spoke at, it was interesting. I had already, if you recall, talked about some of this information, the importance of what we call the intake process. We actually put a score on it. We grade it. They can get up to 40 points for their intake. That's everything from how soon a new patient can get in to how the phone was answered, etc. And, you know, I watched people kind of take a few notes. And when you got up and played the audit calls, you could hear a pin drop in a room that had almost 200 people total in it. And
yeah.
So you made it real. And so I want to thank you for doing the same thing today. And I feel like you didn't hold back. This wasn't about joining your program. You taught us what we need to know to improve our intake. So I just want to thank you for sharing so openly and taking your time to be with us. So, Jay,
sure,
thank
Greg.
You very much. You bet.